Now, I think we should ask the important question. How big is this space station that's coming hurtling towards us?
Yeah, so Tiangong-1 is about 8.5 tons. So it's not huge. It's not like the International Space Station.
It's still like a bit bigger than a car, and it's coming from orbit.
Exactly. It's a bit bigger than a car, yeah, and it's coming down really quickly. So, yeah, to take you back to 2011, China launched their first ever space station, Tiangong-1. It means Heavenly Palace, if you speak Mandarin or interested in that. But then by about 2016, they started having a few malfunctions. They lost control of it. So it's literally floating around in orbit around Earth, and they can't control it. They can't drive it.
Could they have sent people up to sort of fix it?
Yes and no. I mean, they have actually sent people up to Tiangong-1 over its lifespan, but when you have a space station like that where you lose control of it, you kind of don't want to send humans into it, nearby, because you can't control it and make sure it's actually safe for them to go and dock to.
But it sounds
sort of
like
get
such
to, and you know, it could be spinning around, it could be moving. They're like not quite sure what's going on.
But it sounds like the best idea for a Hollywood movie.
It literally is every space Hollywood movie you've ever seen wrapped up in one, isn't it? But yeah, so they've lost control of it. Space stations, or actually everything in space, has a small amount of like drag acting on it. So even though they're kind of in space, they're around about 300 kilometers off the surface of Earth, and there's a very, very small amount of atmosphere up there. It's not entirely nothing. So as they're sort of going around, they start just getting a little bit of drag from the atmosphere, and they start slowing down. Now that, when you slow down a satellite, it starts dropping out of orbit and losing altitude. Normally, if you've got control over a space station, you fire the thrusters and you sort of lift it back up, or you speed it along, actually, a little bit. But because China doesn't have control of it, they can't do that, and it's sort of slowly slowing down and slowly losing altitude, and it's going to come back down to Earth. We have no idea when. We have no idea where, and because they can't control it, they can't, like, you know, safely ditch it into the Pacific Ocean, which is what normally happens, or anything like that. So basically there's groups all around the world tracking it. The best estimates is it'll re-enter Earth's atmosphere somewhere between March 29 and April 6. So we've got like a week of, you know, it could come down in this time. But we genuinely have no idea where. And Australia is kind of in the firing line, which is a little bit worrying.
And how much could that do a decent amount of damage if it came down in, say, the middle of Adelaide?
Well, yes and no. It's not the biggest space station that's, you know, we've ever known, as we said before, but it's not really, really small. So even though a lot of it will burn up as it sort of enters the atmosphere, entirely likely that, in fact, it's entirely expected that some bits will make it down to Earth. Those will probably be relatively small. We're not talking about, you know, sizes, pieces the size of a car or anything like that. They'll be relatively smallish. Most of it will burn up. But you have to remember that the Earth is huge, and most of it's covered in water. And then what's covered in land is only a small amount of that is actually, you know, where people live. So the chances of it hitting somewhere that's actually populated is incredibly, incredibly small. And then the chances of it hitting you personally are even smaller. Like, you've got a million times more chance of winning Powerball than you do than the chance of being hit by this space station or a piece of this space station as it comes down. And literally, one person in history has been hit by space debris, and they weren't even hurt badly by doing that. So the chances of actually, you know, hitting Adelaide and then hitting you are very, very slim. Not really something worth worrying about, but it's still a little bit concerning that there is, potentially
even
a Chinese
chance,
space
there's
station.
There's still a chance.
There's still a chance that a Chinese space station is going to bump you on the head.
That's the last thing you expect when you wake up in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. And like, the worst thing as well is we still won't even know where it's going to hit until it's already hit. Basically, once the bits have landed back on Earth, we'll be able to say, that's the spot. But we literally won't be able to say until that happens. So it's something to keep an eye on, and an interesting story that's happening right now above our heads.
Ben Lewis from Australia's Science Channel is with us talking about the latest research in the science world. Now, the next scientific study could mean a lot to a younger generation. It relates to self-photography, does it not?
Yes, indeed it does.
It does. Wonderful.
Yeah, the... I mean, everyone takes selfies. You know, especially people our age, we take selfies. Interesting sort of side effect from that is that plastic surgeons kind of get people visiting them saying, hey, I've been taking all these selfies and my nose looks really big. Can I get that fixed? And like last year in the US, 55% of plastic surgeons had somebody come and visit them looking for a nose job. And a good chunk of those people were saying, look at this photograph that I took. My nose is huge. So a plastic surgeon sat down with some mathematicians to actually work out what's going on and prove to people that your nose isn't as big as it looks in a selfie. So they put this mathematical model, like a simulator, to show how your nose changes when you take a selfie versus in reality. And they found that when you take a selfie from about this distance, so what's that, like a foot distance, you know, 30 centimeters different a distance, which is about, you know, where I sort of take my selfies from, your nose will look 30% bigger than it does in real life. So that's a big increase in size. But when you hold your arm all the way out, so what's that, maybe like half a meter difference, a distance, your nose will be slightly bigger, but it'll still be enlarged. To make your nose look the normal size in a photograph, you need to take the photograph from 1.5 meters away. Right?
So now people are going to plastic surgeons for arm extensions.
Arm extensions, buy a selfie stick. You know what? Just do it. Like when I was a kid, I remember, when I was younger, I remember if I needed a photograph taken of myself, I just gave it to somebody else and asked them to take it of me.
Yeah, but you're way too old now, clearly. Who even does that anymore? Who can remember that?
Yeah,
okay. Well, I can. But.
Yeah, once I cracked 30, it's all, you know, I'm old now. But the reason for the, you know, your phone camera actually does this is they've got a lens on them and it's slightly domed and it's called a wide angle lens. And they do that to sort of take wider photographs than you normally would be able to. But the side effect of that is it kind of magnifies what's in the center of your photograph slightly. And because you normally put your face in the center of a photograph, it's kind of magnifying your nose. So it's an effect of the phone, but the important thing is if you're looking at your selfies or looking at your photographs, you're like, man, my nose is huge. Don't worry, it's because of your phone. It's not actually what it looks like. Your nose is possibly 30% smaller than you actually think.
I'm just loving the fact that there's now people overseas or even in Australia that now have like significantly smaller noses on their faces, but they take great selfies.
Great selfies. It's all about the link, the likes.
Yeah. Plus the fact that, that's just fantastic. Ben Lewis, producer for Australia's Science Channel. Thanks for joining us this morning, Ben.
It's been fun as always.